There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad you are along. And the phone number and the text line are the same. Two things, the same as it was last hour and the same for phone calls or text. 343-0106. 343-0106. All right, I want to just land the plane on a couple things here. A little bit of a discussion going on the text line here. And the texter earlier, unnamed texter, said, so it's bike helmets and Russell shorts. Yep. I thought they were bike shorts, but you were right, texter. They are Russell shorts. And I have now found, this is, where's that? I thought that was Amazon. It's on Etsy. They have a vintage pair of Russell athletic shorts with the double buttons there, the stretchy, in like a gold color. This would... I don't need to spend... Yeah, I think $35 is a lot of money, but it's worth the gag. Don't you think, parents out there? To bother the elder teenager, the daughter, comes home from college, already wear ridiculous hats and shirts. Like, when you know the stuff they're just trying to get rid of at Walmart? Like, those shirts, they're selling them for like $4 or something. I get one of those t-shirts, and I like to get it ill-fitting. Tight. And, you know, I have a collection of the big foam caps that say ridiculous things like beer inspector ready for my next case or whatever. Get that on. And then if I put the coach's shorts with it, man, the levels of embarrassment. So thank you, earlier texter. Yes, they are Russell athletic shorts. Terry said the basketball shorts would be more embarrassing. I think those, I'm embarrassed for people who wear those. You know, like, I'm a laissez-faire kind of person, wear what you want to wear. But I do see that there's like, how do you make those things look good? I'm not sure. But all right. If we have time later on in the show, I may talk about what's going on Capitol Hill today as Doge is taking on PBS and NPR. And this is a thing that is obviously in my world here, right? And it's really no different than it puts me in the situation. I think I've talked about this before when I say, you know, I feel for somebody who runs a liquor store in Alabama who has to buy from the ABC, compete against the state that's in the same business they're in, right? You have to buy it at their price, then mark it up to be able to compete with the state in the business of selling booze. How we still do that, I don't know. It's not, and this isn't an anti-booze thing, it's a free market thing. And same thing you could say for like NPR, right? You have, even though they have funding from different sources and they have underwriting, and that's been questioned today, and they have people can donate money and get their coffee mug and all that, but you have federal money that goes to radio that is a competitor for private business. But if we have time, we'll get to that. Because before that, we have to obviously go to the biggest story out there, and this is one that 2 weeks, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago we started talking about this. And it was the discussion of the nuisance beaver contract for the city of Mobile. As remember, there was like people going, I can't believe it's $13,000 a year. And I told y'all, I said, you got to be kidding me. That's a deal. And I'm somebody who would, I guess, be in trouble with this group we're about to talk about because I'm somebody who is trapped some beavers in my life, right? And we'll continue to do that. But this came up at yesterday's Mobile City Council meeting, and this is where we got some discussion here. As a citizen came, as you're right to do, a citizen came to take to task this idea of trapping, which is, in the case of the way you trap beavers, It's not a foothold trap. It's not a live catch trap. You know, we talked about it before. I, you know, I run a 330 Conibear to do them. It's a very ethical because it's a very humane, very quick kill, but it kills them. That's how, I mean, you can do some other trapping, but the majority of trapping is done for beavers are with kill traps. Okay. And so at yesterday's Mobile City Council meeting, a concerned citizen who says there's a lot of people that side with her that are upset about this beaver trapping going on, took to task the Mobile City Council about this. And this is, we'll hear some of this audio from yesterday's meeting. It is a representative from the group Awakening Respect and Compassion for All Sentient Beings. They say, or ARC. ARC is the acronym, but wouldn't the acronym be ARCSB? Because it's Awakening Respect and Compassion for All Sentient Beings, but whatever. So Tracy Glover, here she is addressing Mobile City Council yesterday. We have that audio. I think we do. I feel good about it.
To the council. My name is Tracy Glover. I'm the director at ARC, a Mobile-based animal welfare organization. And we are here today to speak about a program that was recently announced to trap and kill beavers who the city has deemed a nuisance because their dams can potentially pose a flooding hazard. We would like to make sure that the city is aware that there are effective, ecologically and financially sound, humane alternatives available. And we urge the city to reconsider its decision and adopt a humane method of dealing with any perceived nuisance caused by the construction of beaver dams. In a recent news story about the program, viewers could see the bodies of dead beavers piled up in a wheelbarrow. Hundreds of people commenting on the social media post expressed outrage by what they saw and made it clear that the public wants a humane solution.
Okay, one second. Just one second to interrupt this. Are people outraged by... Because I can't imagine all the comments, and I didn't see the comments, but I'm sure you put anything on Facebook. If you say, hey, here's a toddler with a puppy on Christmas morning, there are people on Facebook go, that's stupid, must be nice. You know, I mean, there are people that hate everything. But there, how many people that commented about the, I guess, whatever news story showed a wheelbarrow full of dead beavers, which I didn't see, but I'm not disagreeing, probably out there. How many of those people were commenting, busily typing on their keyboard on Facebook while they were eating a hamburger? I love the way that we go, well, it's okay to, you can kill this animal, but you can't kill this other. But Tracy, go ahead.
The city calls beavers a nuisance, but beavers have just as much right to exist and to live here in their natural habitat as we do.
So beaver natural habitat, which beavers are super important. They're not just a nuisance critter. And when they're part of God's system, but their natural habitat isn't the ditch at Mont Lamar. I'm just pointing that out. It is not a Slava Creek ditch.
Sentiment is with the beavers. The community
sentiments with the beavers. Get that?
Cares about our wildlife. Beavers are a gentle, monogamous species who form pair bonds.
Wait a second. There you go. As long as they're not whoring around, we're good. I mean, if the beavers were whoring around, we'd have a different story. But they're monogamous, so you can't kill them. You can't kill them. If one would step out on the other beaver, then you could trap that one? Or what?
Mate for life and live in multi-generational family groups. Beavers are considered a keystone species, and their dams provide wide-ranging ecological benefits.
I completely agree. They are a keystone species, and they have a lot of ecological benefits. But we're talking about the city of Mobile infrastructure.
We can coexist with these animals who made their home here long before we did. We have information.
Can we go down the list for a second of critters that existed here before we did? There's a ride through Mobile and Baldwin County and look at the neighborhood names. You know, I've always told you this is a fun game to play. You ride through a neighborhood and look at the names, and that's just listing the animals that were removed there to put the neighborhood in for people. I mean, it's just a thing.
We'd like to share with the council, taken from several expert resources, including Outdoor Alabama, the Animal Welfare Institute, and the Human Beaver Coexistence Fund, which detail the many ecological
benefits. By the way, Leanna, can you help me? Is there really a... What would she say?
Expert resources, including Outdoor Alabama, the Animal Welfare Institute, and the Human Beaver Coexistence Fund.
Okay, the Human Beaver Coexistence Fund. Can you Google that while I'm doing this part? Is that a thing? Is that...
which detail the many ecological benefits to maintaining beaver dams while still protecting property and avoiding flooding through the use of tools such as fencing, the beaver dam flow device, and the beaver deceiver, which are tools recommended by these and other organizations.
Speaking of things on a hat I could get that would embarrass my daughter, beaver deceiver might be good.
Because they are effective, cost-efficient, humane, and ecologically beneficial. In fact, research has shown that these humane devices are more economical in the long run because once a device is installed, there is almost no cost to maintain the system.
Okay, this is the problem when these stories come up, because beyond knowing enough to be dangerous, I know enough to be realistic. So one of those devices she's probably talking about is called a Clemson Pond Leveler, right? And it's a way to baffle the beavers. And you come in, you split a place in a beaver dam, you put this thing in, they can't figure out how to stop it up and lets the water go through. It's a functional thing where you have a big, wide floodplain. You put that in a ditch, and the first 3-inch rain we get, you know, the same ones that, like, put the sewage in the water, the first one of those rains we get, The thing is floating in front of somebody's house on Halls Mill Creek.
Over many years. In contrast, the city has said that under the current program...
Okay, well, time's up. All right, time's up for me, too. So there you go. We get some reaction. Oh, yeah. The text line is full of reaction. We'll get to that when we come back at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Backstrap Stacker. He said the Rydell shorts, Coach's short, and some old Oakley he saw with my, and I put that with a foam hat. Embarrassing teenagers all over the map, baby. This discussion is probably an example of why this business was not set up for somebody like me to get a radio show, right? How did he get a show? A person who has commentary about coaches' shorts. And so, yeah, well, all right. Let's see. Oh my gosh, there's a lot to get to here on the beaver story here. This is back to the story we did this a couple weeks ago, right? And back then, the complaint was, I can't believe they're going to pay $13,000 to trap these beavers, y'all. That is a deal. That is a deal with the man hours, the amount of trap. I mean, if they're solving that problem for the city of Mobile, $13,000. I don't know these people from whatever it is, Waylon Animal or whatever it is. I don't know them, but it's. I can tell you this: the city. This is one contract I'm not complaining about for what they're spending. Let's see. Unnamed texter said I had some beavers trap me one time. Just once, texter? Oh, that's child's play. Another unnamed texter. Please give yourselves a nickname or something on here, or your first name or something when you text in. I like that. You don't have to, but okay. Seems more personal. This texture said, it's an animal. We eat them. We wear their furs. Get over it. What about roadkill? Yeah, well, I don't know what they would do with roadkill. Ben says nobody likes a whoring beaver. I was just asking a question, right? Because she pointed out the beavers were monogamous. But if they're whoring around, it'd be a different story. Texture says relocating a beaver is both unethical and inhumane. To do so is to either cause property damage to surrounding landowners or to cause a prolonged painful death due to territorial dispute. Oh, this is from Michael. This is from a man who actually knows what he's talking about. Actually, this Michael I know said, yeah, relocating. So this person, trust, this is an opinion from somebody educated on this stuff. Relocating a beaver is both unethical and inhumane. To do so is either to cause property damage to surrounding landowners or to cause a prolonged painful death due to territorial disputes with already established beaver populations. I'll just say this, Michael, who texted in, he knows more about 330 condor bears than I do. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach said, for lack of a better term, you commenting on what that woman was saying was absolutely hysterical. Thank you for the laugh. Well, when I can do it, it's, I hear these stories. I think it's the same thing all of us do. I just have the luxury of having this microphone, but you watch something on the evening news, you sit there and go, what are you talking about? How many times you do that? You watch it, you know, you're like, oh, come on. That's all we're doing here. Joe, I laughed. I don't know if I can read that one. I'm treading on thin beaver dam here I do appreciate your text, Joe. CB Carl said that's got to be one big wheelbarrow. Dalton had it right this morning. She's welcome to take as many beavers home as she likes. Yeah, Dalton this morning, I think, said, listen, if you want to go save them, go save them. Go save them, put them in your house, and have the beaver pets. And don't, I'm sure somebody's going to send me a YouTube video of a beaver as a pet. If you can do it, fine, whatever. It's just the unrealistic thing. I don't like, killing things just to kill things is not something that's not my jam, right? But if you put millions of dollars into infrastructure in the city and the beaver dams will undermine, you know, with water coming around the end of a dam, will undermine stuff. What are you supposed to do? Now, I did look at, thank you, Dalton found me the site, the coexistwithbeavers.org site. I'm looking at one of the cartoons they have here, and it says, how to coexist with beavers. It said, here are the last cell of this cartoon. It says, don't curse a beaver. And it's got a cartoon of a human hand pointing at a beaver saying, you're a nuisance. It says, do thank a beaver. You're a wetland protector. Listen, beavers that are not affecting infrastructure they're part of the natural system. They're good. I'm not anti-beaver. You know, and Lord knows with timber prices not being worth a damn anymore in the state of Alabama, the old days, oh my gosh, they're going to flood out my good timber. Believe me, you make so little money there, just have a beaver dam and a duck hole and enjoy it, right? Yes, there's some. Yes, I saw the diamond signed as well. Jimmy and Baymanette says, Sean, can you please get this lady on the show? I would love to. If we can put that together, that would be good. Like I said, if somebody wants a opportunity to talk about that, I would welcome the people for a conversation here on relocating the beavers or what. And the idea, listen, there are things like she mentioned, there's Clemson pond levelers. There's ways to fence out the front of culverts. I'm familiar with all these things. I also realize, given enough time, because beavers are hardworking Alabamians and Americans, they will figure out a way around them. I'm just telling you. Thank you, Mob Dog. Sent me a picture there of, he said, Tracy, a picture of a beaver me and my dad caught. Yeah, that's a, would they go 25 pounds, Mob Dog? That's a, and yes, with the 330 Conibear wearing that like a necktie. Good trap, good set. Bruce says, hey, Sean, leave it to beaver. Yes. Let's see. They were here first. Let's see. This is Terry says, I guess you would be against having a gator removed from her backyard as well. They were here first. Exactly. And they're supposed to be here. But when they're, you know, when they're in the ditch behind the preschool, you can't have them there. But you, like I said, I'm pro alligators. And you know one good way to get rid of beavers is alligators. You look at a pond that doesn't have a lot of beaver problems, has an alligator. It's a thing. It's like the Nutria. Like growing up, we had Nutria everywhere in the Delta. I mean, it was just everywhere. Alligator populations came back in the 80s and 90s, and there were fewer and fewer Nutria. They're still there, but it made a big difference. It's like I'm pro beavers. I'm not pro Nutria because they're invasive. I'm pro alligator too. But sometimes you have to relocate them to the freezer. Let's see. Yeah, this is Pat. You're right. Pat says, I wish I could take as many beavers home as I wanted, but my beaver is territorial, though. Ben, I'm not going to read that. You know better. Martin said, a whoring beaver. Now I've heard it all. Well, I'm trying to figure out what she meant. Houndstooth said, we used to break beaver dams and reflood the swamps just for fun when we were teenagers. Why can't we just break the dams? And no, dams are not big enough where you can't take the dams out around the city. I'm not with killing the beavers. But as soon as, Houndstooth, you don't kill the beaver, they rebuild the dam. I busted a lot of beaver dams in my life, too, to make a set. They go back to work. That's why they're busy as a beaver. You got to be kidding me. Mob Dog, that 57 pound. Well, you win. I think I got a couple pelts on the wall that were maybe 40 pound, 35, 40 pound. That's 57. That's insane. Good job, man. Maybe get you got a contract with the city of Mobile. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile next. I think.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Check in with my buddy Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's focus on that coins part of the name as well. What do you all have in stock right now? You were just telling me during the news break.
Yes, we have some deals on the old U.S. gold coins, like the $10 Indians. There's $5 Liberty coins. They're pre-1933 U.S. gold coins. And those are going, Ron is selling a lot of them because he has so many right now, are $50 over the melt value of those coins, which is a great deal.
You know, it also brings it back to when we talk about even people buying the new gold in a coin form or around. You got the value that's significant right now with gold at 3,000, but y'all can kind of direct people like this coin's going to be popular or this one's trending, and then there's a additional value, right? There's the precious metal value, but then there's the collectability of it.
Yes, there's high-end coins that are always going to hold up a higher premium just because there might be an error or special date or what we consider like a low mintage. That's always going to be kind of keeping the same price. It wouldn't really depend on gold or silver or the market value. It wouldn't affect it.
Okay. Also, what else is hot for gift items there at the store?
Well, right now we bullion deals. Right now we have these world coins that feature different animals on them, be it buffaloes or bears. I think it's
any
Canadian
beavers?
Grizzly bears.
Any beavers?
No beavers.
Okay, just checking.
But there are one. Yes, sir. They're 1 ounce and a quarter of silver, and we're running a special $1 over spot on those.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you.
Yes, sir. We're at 2204 Government Street, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Good stuff. We'll talk again soon, Anna. And probably get some beaver coins in stock. They would sell very quickly. I'll explain to you more on that later. Welcome into studio as my friend, a longtime friend, Virginia Guy. Also, Mike Lee, who's chairman of the board of the Drug Education Council. Good to see y'all. That means you got, if you're here, that means there's something happening. There's something, an event.
That's right.
Although you come in to talk to me sometimes, Virginia, but when you bring Mike in, it means there's an event going on.
That's exactly right. Yes.
You only get the chairman for events. He doesn't have time to come in here and just
right,
jaw
just
around.
Chit-chat.
Yeah, just chit chat like you and I do. So what's coming? First of all, Drug Education Council, for people who don't know, what do y'all do?
Yeah, we provide prevention, intervention, and recovery support programs in South Alabama. We have an office in Mobile and one in Robertsdale, so we cover the Gulf Coast. And we're really excited that we're bringing in Coach Scott Cochran.
That weakling Scott Cochran.
That's right. That's right. He's going to be telling.
Don't tell him I said that. The guy could he could look at me and break my arm. The Scott Cochran,
yes. He has a remarkable story of his addiction to fentanyl and his recovery.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, and when I saw that come out, I didn't know that.
You know, so many people didn't. He struggled for years, and, you know, when he was working for Coach Saban and then when he was working for Kirby's
Was he
Mark.
Was he on that when he was... Really?
Yes.
I'm blown away.
He was very high functioning. You know, a lot of people think that if you develop addiction, you know, you're homeless and under a bridge and, you know,
well,
all that
kind of
stuff.
Well, people get that picture.
He was winning championship rings and...
He was showing how these young men how to be as strong as... That's what's so crazy is he was telling them about health and strength. And he himself was addicted.
That's right. And he also, he's known for helping a lot of his players get into recovery, even when he was, you know, he was always reaching out to them. He understood it. And his story is just, it's one of the most remarkable stories I think I've ever heard, particularly since it was fentanyl. You know, so many people die of that it's really just a blessing that he's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, y'all have had so many compelling speakers at this event over the years. And I mean, you think about physicians that had everything to lose that were addicted, but this one, because not just the fame of Scott Cochran, but he's in the, I mean, I picture when I think about Scott Cochran, I think about health. I think, you know, and here, and it even affected him.
That's right. He started out, you know, he was being treated for headaches. Okay. So, you know, and
probably because he's hollering at everybody so
that's
much.
That's exactly right.
Is it right?
That is right.
Because he's kind of keyed up.
He is. He's high energy.
Yes. High energy. Good way to say it. Mr. Cochran, I didn't say keyed up. High energy. Because you can tell I'm scared of the man. So they were treating him, and then the addiction. We hear this right. So much.
Right. I mean, that's,
he didn't just decide, hey, I'm going to find something to get addicted to.
Right. You know, more and more people that I work with didn't become addicted by partying. They're more and more becoming addicted by treating real pain. You know, the pain medication is so powerful now, and it does have the potential for developing addiction.
Have we made enough changes? So we were just talking about the other day the funding coming out, and you know they're talking about Montgomery, where the money's going to go to for the next round of opioid money. Are we dealing with folks? Because I remember the days, so much overprescription opioids and so many people addicted to it. Did that stream stop, or is it continuing? Because don't we know more? I mean, don't they? They're not prescribing that stuff now, are they? I mean, are new people getting into it that way too?
You know, not as much.
Okay.
But,
so we have made some progress?
We're making progress. And, you know, but the people that are already addicted, you know, we've still got to deal with that population. And it's just the drugs are so powerful. And the most dangerous thing now is if you buy anything on the street, the likelihood of it having fentanyl in it, almost all the drugs, including marijuana on the street, are tainted with fentanyl.
Well, and that's, you know, and Mike, Virginia and I have talked about this before. As a dad, I've had this, and Lori, you know, our common friend, we had this discussion with what she's gone through. I have a conversation with my kids, but it's a strange and nuanced conversation because I you know, I'm a totalitarian. I say no, you say no to everything. But also I realize reality. And I worry about this where you say no, but I caveat it with, but Lord, please don't take anything that you think is a pill, you know, or it's, you know, college kids with a, you know, a Adderall or something for studying, you know, that it could be. I mean, that's the weird thing. No means no. But while I'm saying this, my God, I'm so scared for our kids. You know, it's crazy. I mean, you want them just not to touch anything. 100%. But I also look at it and go, but if you do, Lord, please don't have somebody hand you some pill you think is just some regular pill.
Right. We know that one pill can kill. A lot of people are dying of fentanyl overdoses that aren't addicted.
These kids at the colleges, taking. I mean, once again, somebody say, well, they shouldn't be taking the Adderall. Of course they shouldn't be.
Right.
But this has been going on since Jesus was a baby, right? I mean, so navigating that part of it is just, as a dad, it's frightening to me.
Well, I think it's also one of the most important things that the Drug Education Council can do now. I worry about the exact same thing you do, Scott. Sean, the way we have looked at people like Scott, who I think you'll find his story is he didn't have any idea he was on fentanyl. He was taking other pain pills, and they were being laced with that. So people like Scott were led into it like many of our kids could be. And as you said, you worry not only about, it's easy to tell them, don't do this bad drug.
Right.
But it is, it's.
Don't be going and buying a street drug.
Okay? Yeah, and it's harder and harder to let them know that, well, you really can't count on anything that is not regulated or coming through the normal pharmaceutical industry to not be laced with something you just weren't expecting. And you could, the one time could kill, I think is the scariest thing that's going on right now.
So we've made some improvements here, obviously, with the horrible glut of people that were hooked on these during when they were handing out opioids like Pez dispensers. But are we making inroads with the kids when you talk to them? The one pill can get, do they, you know, because I mean, I try to be realistic with things, and you know, you could talk to kids and they can go, yeah, I hear you, Virginia, Miss Virginia, I hear you. But are they getting, you know, are they?
You know, there's kind of good news and bad news. I think a lot of kids are getting the message. They're understanding. We're out in the schools every day talking to kids, and they hear about overdoses because we've had a lot of overdoses and deaths in our community of teenagers.
Yeah, and they have friends.
Right. So I think the good news is more and more – students are not using because they are getting the message. The bad news is the ones that are having terrible outcomes. So the risk and the danger, so it's worse in one way because, you know, back years ago, people could use and they may get sick and feel bad the next day, but they lived
the next day.
Right,
they were there to...
Right, and see, so now what we're seeing is, you know, the youthful indiscretion, the bad decisions, the
That's
whatever.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Right, and then it, you know, it ends up, you know, I think often, you know, but for the grace of God, go any of us that grew up in a time when it wasn't this dangerous. But, you know, this is such a dangerous time for drug use.
Well, yeah, I tried to have very frank conversations with my older teenager, and I think statute of limitations is run. I said, child, I said, I drank beer before I was allowed to, before I was 21. I said, and we drank so many we got sick, you know, but the next day, Dad had an idea that happened, and we had a work detail in the backyard to sweat it out of the system. But I was there the next day, and I said, baby, that we knew what was in that can. You don't know what's in the other. And it's just, as a parent, I think I probably speak for a lot of parents, it just, it's so frightening. They go out the door, one's off at college, and, you know, I God bless y'all for the work you're doing and getting through to them. And I think the sad thing is, like you said, because their peer group, there have been these deaths. So, you know, you were at an event where somebody stood up and said, that was one of my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, that may open their eyes.
Right. You know, we are. And I want to encourage everybody in your audience to talk to the you know, youth in their lives, whether it's their children, grandchildren, neighbors, folks at church, workplace, wherever, and just make sure they know how dangerous it is, because that has only recently been out, you know, that word has gotten out. So we really need everybody talking about this.
Well, I'm glad y'all are talking about it, and we can support you, and we can hear from Scott Cochran. Tell me about the event, getting tickets, all that, because it's coming up the end of the month here.
No, it's Monday.
Yes, Monday.
Yes, Monday.
Monday's it. March is over.
I know, almost. I can't believe it. But yes, Monday, March 31st at the Riverview. We're starting right at noon. The doors will open at 11. Okay. If anybody's interested in sponsorship or tickets, contact our office at 251-478-7855.
But they can, because everybody's riding down the road.
Or drugeducation.org.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, just Google drug education.
Right.
Or go drug education.
Education, we'll
get
it.
Got the phone number there.
Right. Right.
Individual tickets, table tickets, how does this work?
All of it. We've got sponsorships, we've got tables, and we've got individual tickets.
And so you'll be there, sit down, and we'll get to hear from Scott Cochran.
Right. And we're also, we're giving out a couple of major awards. We're going to be presenting the Treadwell Award to President Joe Bonner of South Alabama. So we're excited about that. Gary Coles is going to be getting an award, and so is Haley Beeson. So
very good.
It's going to be a fun day.
It is. And I got to tell you, you talk about maybe that and looking at his face on that sheet over there. Maybe that, y'all, seriously, if you want to see a face that you go, he was addicted, and that's I think more compelling than somebody that fits some stereotype of somebody addicted.
It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, his story is really going to resonate with a lot of people because of just the kind of things you've talked about. They identify him as healthy strength coach.
But he'd be the polar opposite of the person you would think.
Exactly. And to hear his story, I think is going to really resonate with a lot of people.
Well, it's a must-do event on Monday coming up, and y'all get your tickets now, and we'll see you down there. Mike, it's always good to see you. Virginia, it's always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
All Thanks. Right. Coming back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't quite know what to say after hearing that. But wait, Penelope House, great charity, Chocolate Festival, great event. I tell people in the advertising world all the time, people, great clients here at FM Talk, things you can do to get your commercials to stand out. maybe would be, maybe I need to turn it over to our most senior member of the staff, my friend Charlie Moss, who does our public service announcements, which, by the way, you've got a nonprofit charity doing something, doing an event. You can always send an email to charlie@fmtalk1065.com, and it'll get you on our public service announcement list. Local charities, we're all about it, getting your word out. But the music there, that was... Charlie, if you're listening, I'm intrigued. I'm impressed. I don't know where there's a lot going on. I might have to. I'm probably going to play that public service announcement as soon as we get into the Paul Feinbaum show when I'm off the air. I'm going to play that for myself personally. Listen to that again. Way to get attention for an event. Well done. All right. Some more about the Beavers here. Let's see. Now, what is this? Somebody sent me something from the American Hippo Bill. I don't know what this is. Oh, no. We talked about this, didn't we? Didn't we talk about this in the past? The people it's not a hyperlink, doesn't work in the text. But I remember that there was an idea because they had, as we just talked to Mike Lee and Virginia Guy from the Drug Education Council, I think it was Pablo Escobar, because he had dope money, right? And he decided to... because I guess the regular pets weren't good enough. Remember, he got hippos, and they're still in some of the river courses there in Colombia, I think, which is not good. They're not supposed to be there. You talk about invasive species. Nutria is one thing. A hippo is a pretty damn deadly critter, too, when they want to be, when they're upset. Now, didn't somebody say they were going to take the hippos from, catch them in Colombia? I don't know where this is coming from in my brain. Maybe it's... I thought there was something to that effect, that they were going to, somebody's going to adopt the hippos that were the cocaine hippos from Colombia and bring them here to the United States. I could just tell you that not a good idea. Now, good movie? Yes. Would that not be a fantastic movie? You bring hippos in and then they get loose. They're on the lam. And they're running through the streets of American cities and stuff. Now, action movie. Backstrom said Scott's story is great. He got addicted while at Georgia. It is. I tell you, I was just telling Mike in Virginia when I knew that they had Scott Cochran speaking at this event coming up on Monday. And it just sometimes, with everything you got going on, it just went right over my head that the speakers they have at these events had dealt with addiction themselves. Right. And we have had many interviews with physicians, business leaders, people that come and speak that were addicted. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I had this shell built around in my head of who Scott Cochran is. I just thought, oh, they got Scott Cochran. Who doesn't want to come hear him talk about getting healthier and stronger? Right. I mean, you couldn't be a fan of the Tide to not know, what he did for the players as the strength and conditioning coach. But then. You heard, I heard it, and Virginia's like, well, yeah, he's addicted to fentanyl. I'm like, I had no idea. I'm truly slack-jawed. That guy? You think it can happen to anybody? Yeah, that guy. How about that? The Scott Cochran. And by the way, too, if this gets to him in podcast form, any kind of comment I made that was anything but saying he is perfect, I'd take it back. Because I'm not many people I'm scared of. My late father. And Scott Cochran are probably in the short list there. So put it that way. That's I don't know why. I mean, it can happen to anybody. I know you just say it can happen to anybody, but it really strikes me. Scott Cochran, addicted. All right, 3430106. We're not going to have time. I'll read a little bit of the story. Maybe we can tackle this on tomorrow's show. And there'll probably be more about it then because the testimony was going on today on Capitol Hill. As DOGE is now looking at public broadcasting, okay, and so PBS and NPR, the NPR thing, now you can look at it politically and say, well, they're really, really left. Okay, fine. Don't know that I would argue with you on that. But the question is, should the government be in the business of broadcasting? I mean, it's the same question I ask at the state level. So it's not just a liberal or conservative thing because I ask it of the Republican supermajority state of Alabama that has the state in the business of selling booze. State doesn't need to do that. It's not the free market. Same thing on the broadcasting side. I have to pay money to be able to lease the airwaves from We the People, right? To be able to have FM Talk 106.5. Do I then, after paying that, do I then need to compete against another broadcaster that has money? And they do get it from underwriting. They get it from pledge drives, but they also get a big chunk of just taxpayer dollars. Do we need to be in the business of that? Is that a fair? So Doja's looking at that. Yeah, Doja's next target. NPR and PBS, says a story over at Politico. I'll pop this up over on X at FM Talk 106.5, and we'll put that on the to talk about list for tomorrow. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Y'all have a great one.